This is 1330 WRCA Watertown, Boston, a Beasley Broadcast Group station.
This is Tube Talk on WRCA Radio.
Here, kitty, 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 kitty. Here, kitty. Here, kitty, 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 kitty.
Tiger, Les Paul, Mary Ford.
In the good old summertime, in the good old summertime, strolling down the shady lane with my sweetheart mine, I'd hold his hand and he'd hold mine, that's a very good sign.
Thanks for stopping by on Tube Talk, WRCA 1330 AM. We're here for you, the good music lover, the antique radio collector, the person who still likes to listen to the radio. And you might be wondering why I start out the show by saying, "Here, kitty, kitty, kitty." Well, I had a rather disturbing event occur with my cat and a nice antique RCA radio. My cat basically scratched the daylights out of the top of the cabinet, and it's very disturbing, very upsetting. Apparently, it's my own fault. I leave it with some nice padding and cloth on top of it, and cat was trying to apparently get out a window, and on he went, and skittering and scattering, and the next thing I know, the cloth is off, the cat's gripping with his claws deep into the fine wood finish, and it was refinished, yes, beautifully refinished, lovingly refinished. So, you know, watch your cats. I've heard of grill cloth problems. I've heard of all kinds of cat issues, nasty cat behavior, cats sleeping on radios, cats ripping grill cloth out of radios, now cats scratching the radios to death. Bah. Klein. We are delighted tonight to be joined by Steve Cushman, president of the California Historical Radio Society, radio collector, videographer, and just all-around swell radio renaissance guy. Is it a good enough intro?
Anything will do, Paul.
Well, we're glad to have you on, and it's always nice to chat with the other side of the continent here. So why don't you give us a quick rundown? What's new and exciting out with the California Club these days?
Well, just real briefly, for those who are not familiar with CHRS, we are an educational nonprofit founded in 1974. We currently are running around 325 members based in the San Francisco Bay Area. Our home is in Berkeley. And for years and years and years, we were a collector's organization, and then every once in a while, we would put on an exhibit to fulfill our educational status. And we always, our main emphasis was in, of course, collecting radios and the technology of radios and the people that invented that technology, et cetera. But as part of our little statement, it was always, and broadcasting, but we were never able to do that. And then by a serendipitous means, at the end of 2003, a vintage radio station building was sort of dumped in our lap, and made available for our use. And we got a 10-year agreement, rent-free, in exchange for maintaining and restoring this building to what it was in 1950. And it's the historic KRE building at the foot of Ashby Avenue in Berkeley. And even though some of you are, you know, thousands of miles away listening to this, you've seen this building, because this is the building that George Lucas used in 1972 when he filmed American Graffiti.
Yes, that's right.
He was looking for a place that was a throwback to the late 50s, early 60s, and all the Wolfman Jack and Richard Dreyfuss were filmed in our building. So that's the building that we occupy, and it was one of the first buildings built specifically for broadcasting in 1937.
Well, that's great.
So our club is very, very active. We have a very active, positive organization.
Well, you know, it's interesting that you you know, mentioned the Wolfman Jack, because it looked kind of familiar. I stumbled across the California Historical Radio Society via the Radio Attic when you folks started to post radios, which, from what I understand, were part of one very large collection. And
we're still selling them.
Yep. And I had picked one up, and I actually had to call Jamie because, I don't know, some snag with, you know, I mailed a check or whatever. So I introduced myself over the phone, and then, you know, we chatted for a bit, and then, you know, I said, well, I'll find out some more. So I followed the leader. I went over to your website, and when I saw the radio station and all the activities centered around it, from the big time in July when you set up the awnings and you have the radios and the flea market, and you were doing some of the old-time radio scripts and you were playing music, and I just, you know, the green with envy just came right up. So, and it's a natural fit, and it's, you know, I think probably every club would be envious of a club that actually has their own station.
It really is. As far as we know, we don't think we're the only one, but we are one of the only vintage radio organizations to be in a vintage broadcasting building, perhaps in the world. Very, very tiny, tiny number. And this organization is very successful. And if you got a moment, I'll tell you why. First of all, we have a very, very good volunteer base, and volunteers are not so important when you're a swap meet organization, which we were for 30 years, and we met in parking lots. But it's important to have a place, and the place has really made a difference in the history of this society, because once we were allowed the use of this building, the volunteers just came out of the woodwork, and we have a fabulous group of volunteers that's there every weekend, whether it be mowing the lawn with the donated lawn tractor from one of our members, brand new, or whether it be repairing the most intricate part of a 1925 DeForest F5 radio. We have the volunteers that can do it all. That absolutely makes it possible. And if you have a place, you can offer activities like we offer radio. We have a shop in the old general manager's office. We have a vintage radio repair shop that we have three benches in there that were donated to us by Dolby Labs, and we have, every couple of months, we have a clinic where members can bring in their radios and stand in front of the bench next to one of our experts, and they will work together in solving the problem with getting that radio running. That's just some of the things we do. We're starting up our classes again. We have a big, in the old sales office, which was a big room, we'll be offering on April 25th our second broadcasting history course taught by our chairman, Mike Adams, who just wrote the Lee DeForest book, and by David Jackson, founder of the Bay Area Radio Museum, and one of our directors and one of our other historians. We have swap meets right there at our building, and we have so much more. We have a research library. We have a lot going on, and if I'm babbling too much or you want to butt in.
No, it gives people a sense of just what the scale of the activities is.
Yeah. And
I think your point is a very well-taken point in that when you have a physical location, it does make it easier to draw people in. And just, you know, from looking at some of the before and after photos that I saw on the website, you know, the old KRE and then, you know, the pictures of the, you know, various guys in there, you know, pulling up floors and doing paint jobs. And, you know, it's a great testament to the membership. And from what you were telling me, too, you recently received a very large financial donation from one of the members to help keep the whole thing rolling.
We do. I mean, all I can say is we must be doing something right.
You're living right
out
there.
Because in the downturned economy for the past few years, our little 501c3 nonprofit has been doing just fine. Each year at our fundraising event, we've taken in at least $2,000 more every year. And this last year, we took in almost $20,000.
That's super.
We're doing just fine. Our members think so, too. At the end of December, one of our members donated $75,000 to us.
Wow.
As what he called it, seed money, because when you have a building, it's important to own the building. Because once you establish a collection, once you establish roots in a building, and if the building is a suitable location for you, you don't want to leave that building for any reason. And when museums and organizations such as ours have to leave a location, it really can mean the end of that organization, as evidenced by an electronic organization that sort of is no more. That was in this area before, but you don't want to leave that building for any reason. So it's important to own it, and we're very excited because our land. A couple of things happened. Our landlord, who was Inner Cities Broadcasting, had filed for bankruptcy, and the new lenders, who are new landlords, are very interested in selling us the building and the land. So this is something that we're very excited about this year, and we are going to start developing a building purchase fund.
Well, that's great. It sounds like things are starting to crystallize a little bit out there. So that's great, and I hope that all pans out well, and I bet you it will, because you've had so much good fortune already. I'd like to think that that's going to continue. Maybe you could give the audience a little feel for, I know you have a big event in July, and what's on tap for this year? What exactly, what are the different activities that go down every July?
Well, every July we have, we used to call it Live at KRE, but since KRE is a radio station that the old-timers in the Bay Area know, the new letters of KRE or KVTO, Voice of the Orient. And by the way, our building, we have the use of the building that is not occupied by two transmitters. There are still two remotely controlled transmitters in the building, 610 KEAR, Christian Radio, and 1400 KVTO, Voice of the Orient. And the Inner Cities Broadcasting moved out of there a long time ago, because they ran out of office space, et cetera. In July, we have a large fundraising event. And what it is every year we seem to get at least one estate auction that people want to consign to us. And we have a large vintage radio auction. And they're usually very, very nice sets. And we usually have probably, our auction usually runs about 180 items.
It's pretty good size.
In addition to the auction, we have live music. Usually it's jazz or traditional music. And this is all on stage in front of our building where we put a big shade cloth over our parking lot. The attendance is about 300-400 people. In addition to the auction and the live music, we're very closely associated with a group called the Broadcast Legends, And these are former radio and television people that are retired and just get together as a social group to have fun. And one of the things they do is present live radio plays with the Foley sound effects. And it's wonderful.
Very
Last July, they did a version of The Lone Ranger, a half-hour radio play of The Lone Ranger. And it's just fabulous to hear and watch these folks perform. So we have the radio play, we have the auction, we have a huge electronics flea market, we have food booths. Last year we also had John Comer from ARC there who set up a booth and drummed up subscriptions for ARC and was giving away copies of the last June edition that had a big article about CHRS. And we also had the son and the grandson of William Jensen, the inventor of the loudspeaker. They came and set up a booth with a demonstration in it.
Very nice.
And we also do interviews with Bay Area radio personalities. That goes on at the same time. We sit them down and do their life histories and videotape it, and we sit them down in our vintage control room, and we send the signal upstairs to the big room where people watch on a TV, and there's food, and there's tours of the museum, and many things are happening. It's a fun day. We call it Radio Day by the Bay now.
Excellent. So now this is a one-day event that runs one day, and it sounds like an action-packed day.
One-day event. It runs one day, but also we also have swap meets that happen at our building. We have these radio activity days where we have radio clinics. We have classes. We have guest speakers. We have PowerPoint demonstrations. We have lots going on there because we have the facility to do it.
These things help keep you guys very relevant. And isn't there a relationship, what is it, the Bay Area Radio Museum?
Well, that gets us on to a point that I think is really, really important. I had to have a sip of coffee.
No problem.
To any other officers or any other radio clubs or vintage radio clubs or societies that are in the sound of my voice. You'll notice that your members are getting bald and your members are getting gray, and they're taking the knowledge with them. And it's hard to entice younger members. That's one of the problems we have as a vintage radio society. And, you know, if you focus on the technology, if you focus on collecting the equipment, you got to start thinking about the history of this stuff. And the history aspect opens up whole new areas. So I got a call some years ago from a fellow named David Jackson, and he says, I'm the executive director of the Bay Area Radio Museum. And, of course, the California Historical Radio Society has been in business essentially since 1974. And David called him 4 or 5 years ago, and he says, we are the Bay Area Radio Museum. Take a look at our site. We are online only. And what the Bay Area Radio Museum is an archive of biographies of the radio personalities. It's thousands of audio clips of radio shows, local radio shows of the Bay Area, and it's information and histories of the radio stations themselves. So we thought, well, this is good. So we're working with David, you know, on a close basis. We sort of had a link exchange and everything. And then it got to the point a couple of years ago where David had to pay attention to his family and his business and was going to give up the site. And there was an outcry from many areas, please don't do that. So CHRS offered to basically take over the site. So, 2 years ago, the Bay Area Radio Museum and the Bay Area Radio Hall of Fame, which was online only, merged with the California Historical Radio Society, and now they are a program of CHRS. So, listen to me, radio collectors groups. Get chummy with the broadcasters in your area. Make your members aware that, you know, there's stuff that happens on the other end of the radio.
Yes, there is.
And by doing this, you will open up a whole new world of interest and members and people who want to donate money and people who want to donate stuff, because the broadcasting community is still alive. It's still vibrant. In most communities, there is some organization of either a social organization or a union or whatever, where you can sort of reach out to the broadcasters and tell them what you're doing, and then embrace that part of radio and make it complete as one. And if you do that, our world has really opened since we reached out, and now we encompass the broadcasters of our area. And any radio group can do it in any area, and you will be surprised how it can really revitalize and invigorate your group. It has happened here, and we can attest to that.
Well, you know, it's interesting, because one of the reasons that, you know, I put this show on and was able to put this show on is just I had a casual relationship in my office with a fellow who came in from one of the big CBS-owned stations in the Boston area, a big 50,000-watt station, and he was looking for some guests. So I got him a guest to talk about fall foliage. We got some guests from the company to work with him. And I said, you know what, Morgan, I listened to your show. And as a matter of fact, I listened to it on antique, vintage tube-type equipment. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, now this is a guy who's been around radio for many years, and he does this overnight shift, which we're lucky to have a non-syndicated local talk program that comes on at midnight, excuse me, and runs to 5 in the morning. So he says, hey, that's great. He says, you really listen on that tube stuff? I said, yeah, and it sounds super. He goes, well, when do you want to come on the radio and talk to my audience about listening on antique radio? So
yeah,
he was very intrigued. We got on. We did a couple of shows, and I said, hey, you know what? I could probably fill an hour a week with a member of the radio community one way or another and some good music, and I bet you there'll be a few people who listen. And he said, you know what? You're probably not far from it. So when I approached the station here, you know, one thing leads to another, and the manager says, oh, you know, that sounds like a great idea. I think that's a good fit. And the people in the broadcast business are generally very supportive of this. The people who collect and listen and restore radios, a lot of them are still very active radio listeners, even in a world where a lot of people now turn to the Internet and turn to TV and all these different sources to get their news and information. A lot of folks still really want to put their equipment to the test, and they want to listen. So
right,
they know the personalities, they know the stations, they know the call letters. And, you know, what you've really done is you've broadened the spectrum of your club, and you draw in a lot of other people, you create a lot of interest, and it snowballs. And I think,
yeah,
you know, that's the moral of the story there.
It really does. Having a place allows us to not only to, and by the way, we've got a tiny little 4,600 square feet, and it's jam-packed full of beautiful antique radios, and it's also jam-packed full of antique broadcasting equipment that's, you know, fulfills that other sort of area that we have to do. But you don't have to have a place to get into, you know, to expanding your collector's organization into broadcasting, into vintage broadcasting history. You don't need a place, because I'm sure that every vintage radio society, as we like to call ourselves a society, because clubs don't get donations. So
no, and very worthwhile to call yourself that, because
it is
a society of friends.
That's right. Every vintage radio group, let's put it that way, has got a website. And the website is the perfect place for you to embrace the other part of radio, the other spectrum of radio, the broadcasting side of radio, where you can put up clips from your local radio stations, where you can have biographies of your local radio personalities, where you can have histories of your local radio. And speaking of local radio, if I digress back to Radio Day by the Bay, also one of our featured guests is going to be John Schneider. And those of you who don't want to know John Schneider, he's a radio historian, and he did his college thesis on the history of Bay Area radio. And that was the core, basically, of the Bay Area Radio Museum. And since then, he's been, this was years ago, and since then he's been adding to it and adding to it. And he was approached earlier last year by Arcadia Books. And I don't know whether you know Arcadia Books.
No, yeah, they
do books on everything.
Yes, they do.
So they approached John to do a book on Bay Area radio. And he took his thesis and expanded upon it and worked very closely with the California Historical Radio Society and the Bay Area Radio Museum. And the book has just been published. So John is going to be a guest speaker out there. Anybody wants to look it up, it's Arcadia Publishing. It's called Bay Area Radio, and it's a fabulous book. And it's loaded with pictures of early Bay Area radio here in the San Francisco Bay Area, and we've got a huge history. And also on the front cover, it says, by John Schneider in association with the California Historical Radio Society.
Very nice to get the name out.
And the Bay Area Radio Museum. So we are very, very proud to be a part of that.
Well, that's super.
Of that effort.
Well, you know, just as we talk about radio, this is radio. And just to remind the crowd here, this is Tube Talk on WRCA 1330 AM. We appreciate you stopping by the dial tonight or streaming us on your computer. You have reached the zenith of the independently produced good radio experience. We're on the glorious standard broadcast band, broadcasting out of Boston at 1330 AM. And we are streaming on the net, as I know many people listen to us online and then put the signal into their little home AM transmitter and listen to it on one of their vintage sets. And, you know, it's so funny that you mentioned Arcadia Publishing, because we have one, too. No, there was a book that just came out, and my wife gave it to me last year. And, again, it's one of these Arcadia books, because they seem to specialize in these local histories, histories of certain industries and whatnot. And so we have a Boston version, probably a very similar type book. And the woman who wrote the book is a very interesting radio character, and we hope to have her on. But it's a nice book, because in addition to going back and talking a little bit about the very roots of radio, the stores that were selling them, some of the key players, and getting things started way back in the 20s and 30s, I got a chance to look through at a lot of the folks I remember being a kid, people my parents listened to. And I got a lot of very fond memories. You know, we had a lot of very dynamic radio personalities up here in Boston, and these guys were morning talk show hosts and afternoon hosts, and this is when radio was really fun. You know, there'd be interviews and a little song and dance, and they were a little they were comedic, and you know what, nobody's feelings got hurt either, because they were not just spewing you know, foul language and cruel jokes at other people's expense. It was when radio was really fun. It was a medium that most people enjoyed. And I looked through the book and I saw some of the pictures. I gotta say, you know, you feel a little smile come up on your face when you're reading it. You say, I look like a nut. I'm sitting here alone and I have a big smile on my face. But that's how important a lot of this stuff was, and that's what draws people back into either the hobby or into celebration of what radio was and what radio still is. It's these nice, warm feelings that we get, and it's great that Arcadia can do that stuff, too. So it's glad it's happening on your coast, too.
Yeah, it is, and it's almost universal, because a lot of the Bay Area radio, San Francisco, not Los Angeles, for years, in the golden years of radio, was the West Coast hub for all the networks, and lots of radio came out of here. So it might be nice. John Schneider may want to come in and talk to you for an evening.
Well,
here,
you know,
time.
If he gets out this way, you know, just let him know, because we'd be more than happy to have him. And, you know, one other thing I wanted to ask you to expound on just a little bit is what do you like yourself? Do you have a favorite manufacturer? Do you have a prized set? What does Steve like? You know, we always try to get a feel for our guests, and if we had to put you on a desert island somewhere, what radio would you bring out of your collection to go out there and sit with?
Man, you know,
that's a toughie.
It's so tough, you know, because I've collected viciously since about 1988, and my collection has slowed down somewhere at around 1,500 or 2,000 or so. And my problem is I'm intrigued by a lot of things. I'm intrigued by crystal sets. the modern crystal sets. So, you know, all the rockets, I have all the rockets and all those, all the things. One of my favorite memories as a child was with my little alligator clip. I'd run around the house and looking for the best place to clip sure. that little alligator clip on, you know, for the best reception. And what I found, of course, was the finger stop on the dial telephone was, of course, the best. And I also love the vintage crystal sets. I'm intrigued by them, but I'm also intrigued by deco radios. I love deco radios. I love chrome fronts. I love transistor radios.
Any particular manufacturers you're very fond of more than others, or is it just the set itself?
Just the set itself, you know, because I'm sort of. This is the way I look at it. There's a gentleman out here who is sort of one of the gurus of our radio society out here, John Wenzel, who has the Aladdin Radio Store and has been in business since 1948 and just gave up his business license but still repairs radios for, you know, our society members and friends. And he told me something that is so true. He says, had said years ago, he said, "Steve, you know, when I think I've seen every radio, another one will come in that I've never seen before." And that's the thing, you know, the design, right. the style, they just get me. They really do just get me.
It's funny that you say that because I have a friend, he's down in the Carolinas, and he sells a lot of his stuff, and he's selling off a lot of his collection. He's kind of downsizing a little bit. But I had this little National Union set that I never really thought that much of. It was just a little All-American 5, but it was certainly kind of a different-looking thing. It had this metal lattice grill and a slope front, and it just was a little different. So he saw that, and he goes, "You know, even though I want that radio. You know, I've never seen a radio." And he was just so thrilled that, you know, we worked something out, and I said, you know, if it makes you that happy, you got to have it, you know. But it's you know, sometimes you'll just see something and it catches your eye, and it may not be the most sophisticated electronically or the best receiving set, but there's just something about it. And you're right, there's always something different right around the corner, and that's what makes it fun. That's what really makes it fun.
And I look for radios of color. I have you know, a few Catalan sets and a few mirrored sets, and you know, of course, all of those sets were you know, got at good deals. You know, that's what one can afford.
The story is as much fun as the acquisition is as much fun as listening to it and fixing it.
It is, and you know, I was for years and years and years. I was faithful about going every weekend to the flea markets and to the antique stores, and then we got this building, and you know how life goes in cycles, and collecting is sort of on the wane at the moment, and the collection sort of sits, and every once in a while I'll pick up something nice if I see it, but I'm not out there looking anymore, and all my efforts are pretty much in restoring our building and running the organization and making sure it's running smooth and making sure that we're doing new things all the time to interest our members. We've had a problem in the last many years. We used to have a really good journal that we would put out on a regular basis, but we're all volunteers. People move, people go other places,
right.
And we have not had a reliable journal, and we have to have one. So our treasurer, Richard Watts, who seems to be doing many things for us lately, says, "I will produce a journal." So
it's great when somebody steps up.
Mailing out a journal in May or in April here, and then another one later in the year until we got an editor. So we're then going to be looking for articles from our members, you know, to fill the journal and get back on track with that. So.
Well, maybe I'll send you out a guest submission because I'm never at a loss for words. I always can come up with something.
Oh, we'd love to have one. We'd love to have one.
You know,
speaking of revitalization, we have just finished building a brand new website, which is really more up to date, and you can do everything. You can donate, you can renew everything, and do everything online now. And we have a restoration corner, and we have a history corner, and it's full of lots of good information about us.
Well, that's
Shall I plug it for us now?
Sure, you can plug it and give us the URL. And I just wanted to mention, I checked out your new site and I saw, I think it was, he was on one of our earlier guests from your club there, your society, Tom Bonomo. I checked out, he has a very nice Hallicrafters that he's quite proud of. And I had to.
That's right.
I had to take a look at his job there. Very nice indeed. So, no,
yeah.
Please feel free to give out the contact information for the website, Steve.
Well, it's long, but you put it in once, you won't forget it. CaliforniaHistoricalRadio.com.
Yeah, and you know, the other thing is, too, you can always just Google up CHRS, and you'll find that it comes up within about the first three or four, I think. And you know, two things, and then we're going to have to let you go, and we'll certainly be glad to have you on again. It's an amazing thing, out of all the guests I have on, how many people talk about starting their interest with a little crystal set. I'll tell you, my favorite place was to connect the clip was there was one particular water pipe in the laundry room that if I hooked it onto that, I got in about five or six stations, and that was the absolute tops. And the other thing that I would like to encourage, you know, as we talk about clubs and trying to get more people involved, we have members, but let's get the members involved. For all of the collectors who are like Steve and just have too many radios and no more room, and they can't absolutely positively have anything else added, why don't you focus your efforts, do something for your club, talk to the club officers. What do you need help with? Is it organizing a meet? Is it putting out a newsletter? Is it writing an article? Is it sending out the letters for the renewals? What else can we do? It's a great way to stay in the hobby, even when your basement is bulging and you don't have any more time or resources to fix the radios and you have certainly no more place to put them.
That's right.
Put your energy into the organization and help somebody else do it, or help somebody else get started, help somebody else have fun with it. So
and the other thing we're dealing with, when I get back to the bald and graying people, you got to get young people interested. We have a new member. He is enthusiastic. He drives a 1956 restored Mercury. He repairs radio. He knows his stuff. He loves tubes. And he's 35 years old.
Hallelujah, brother.
He's gold, man. We love this fella. And we encourage him to bring his friends.
Yes, bring
That's
all your friends.
What's important is getting the young people interested in this technology.
Steve Cushman from the California Historic Radio Society, thanks very much for being on. We appreciate it. Good luck with your club efforts. We appreciate you being on. We'll talk to you again soon.
It was my pleasure, Paul. It was great being on with you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Stars that never were are parking cars and pumping gas. You can really breathe in San Jose. They've got a lot of space. There'll be a place where I can stay. I was born and raised in San Jose. I'm going back to find some peace of mind in San Jose. Car and ride away. I've got lots of friends in San Jose. Do you know the way to San Jose? And pumping gas. I've got lots of friends in San Jose. Oh, do
Well, a little California song there for our friends out at the California Historic Radio Society, who I hope will be tuning in to listen to their fearless leader, the Grand Poobah of the California Historic Radio Society, our guest for this evening, Steve Cushman. And, you know, now that he's off the air, see, I can flatter him and he's not going to get red-faced. Can you hear the passion? You know, it's an infectious enthusiasm. You know, he's just really cut out for that job, and you can tell he loves it. He loves spreading the word about radio in all of its forms, whether it's sets, radio stations, historic broadcasts. You know, it's the whole picture out there. So our friends out on the West Coast are very lucky indeed.
Sugar Hill up in Harlem. If you miss the A train, you find you miss the quickest way to Harlem.
That was the King Sisters with Take the A-Train. Miss Nancy Wilson.
In a sentimental mood, I can see the stars come through my room. While your loving attitude is like a flame that lights the gloom on the wings of every kiss. Drifts a mellow so strange and sweet, in this sentimental bliss, you make my paradise complete. Seem to fall, it's all in a dream to to call you mine. My heart's a lighter thing since you made this night a thing divine. In a sentimental mood, I'm within a world so heavenly. For I never dreamt that you'd be loving sentimental me.
Now, thanks for listening. It's tubetalk1@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you.
Information on available airtime and how you can produce and host your own program on this radio station, call WRCA General Manager Stu Fink at 617-492-3300. That's 617-492-3300 to place your program on 1330 WRCA.
Beasley Broadcast Group. This is 1330 WRCA, Watertown, Boston.